morning, a Wednesday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Chartok. Alan, Joe Biden had another big night last night in the Democratic presidential primary. He captured four more states, including Michigan. He also won Missouri, Mississippi, and Idaho, showing strength with working class and African American voters. The other major candidate, Bernie Sanders, we're hearing from the BBC just before I walked into the studio, Alan, that he has returned to Vermont, presumably considering his next steps. But this is a nomination, I guess, at this point, that's Biden's to lose.
Well, I think that's right. Biden has found, I think, David, the right message, saying basically we have to unite and we have to calm down and we have to make this country, believe it or not, great again, because those are the things that most Americans are feeling. They're tired. Trump has worn them out. Now, let's go to Trump for a minute. This is a guy who has been afraid of Joe Biden from the first moment. That's what all the Hunter Biden stuff has been about. That's why you have to investigate him. That's why he tells terrible lies about the Bidens, because he knows that the one guy who is in a position to really beat him is Biden. You don't have to go any further than Trump's utterances about Biden. It just shows abject fear. And I think Biden has exactly the right message to everybody. You don't attack. You make sure that people are together and that you bring some calm to a very riled sea.
Does Sanders drop out?
Well, I think sooner or later, the inevitable is going to happen, unless Biden makes a major error or unless something about Sanders catches fire. I think it's over. Listen, he's a spirited guy. He has a lot of spirited support, but it's not enough to go forward and to make this thing happen. The real question is, does it keep happening so that the Democratic Party is split, or can he bring some unity and get an awful lot of credit for saying, okay, I gave it a good try, it's not working, let me endorse my very good friend Joe Biden, who can lead us to victory here. This isn't right for me now. I've given it everything I can. History will record that, but now it's time to let go.
And then, of course, the major story, the coronavirus, COVID-19, the Times this morning, and right there with this other story, could upend the 2020 race. The race entered new ground as Mr. Sanders and Mr. Biden called off rallies, and President Trump's signature rallies are also facing an uncertain future. And more stories I'm seeing about when it comes to the voting itself and whether that'll keep numbers down, voting by mail, other ways to do it.
Well, necessity is the mother of invention, and this country will do what it has to do in order to stay safe. We do know that major hockey games and other things, there's no audience. I have friends who are traveling through Albany right now and who aren't seeing any other cars on the road. I think people understand that what you do is you stay home. You're being told to stay home. You're being told to wash your hands. Not everybody, but I think an awful lot of people are obeying the instructions.
Meanwhile, more states declaring states of emergency, including Massachusetts and Rhode Island. We have the governor of New York, who you spoke at length with yesterday, calling on the state comptroller, Tom DiNapoli, about relooking at the numbers because of the economic hit that, well, as the governor put it, the world is taking right now as a result of this virus.
That's right, David. Look, this governor has a $6 billion shortfall. He's got to come up with a plan. He can call on Tom DiNapoli, who he refers to as my friend, and boy, is he right about that. I think he's one of the great servants of the people that we have seen. But basically, this is not Tom DiNapoli's problem. It's the governor's. He's got to come up with a plan. He's got a lead here. And, right now he's saying to the counties, we're giving you too much for Medicaid. Well, you got a COVID virus going around. Medicaid is going to treat poor people. One has to wonder how that's going to work.
Well, meantime, you pointed this out and you praised him for it yesterday. He has been out every day putting people in place, talking about the numbers. Now we have the National Guard deployed in New Rochelle. And then there was this discussion about the powers of the governor and what he's able to do now that he wasn't able to do before.
Well, basically, he is saying, I have some emergency powers. The legislature has given them to me. And he's been criticized for that already by some civil libertarians. But I think people want to stay safe. And I think it's reasonable that he is hoarding his powers and using them appropriately. When he's not using them appropriately, we'll know. Now, he has sent troops into New Rochelle, New York. The mayor says they're not policing and they're not soldiering. So the very fact that they're on and around, I think, reinforces the message that everybody should stay home and everybody should obey the rules about washing your hands and not going out. You know, the governor said something yesterday, David, that I found very interesting. He said, I'm paraphrasing him, of course, whether this has been around longer than we think. I agree with that. I suspect we've had this particular virus circulating amongst us before we began to take it seriously and even to recognize what it was.
Well, you mentioned this yesterday, President Trump and his proposal that was coming and came for a payroll tax break, but as you hinted, could be, and there is, resistance.
Well, look, there's going to be resistance to this guy because he's been lying so much in his past that anything he says now means little. You saw him stand up and sort of commandeer the vice president's last briefing. I can see that, you know, he gives it to the vice president and he says to him, okay, you are in charge of this. Parenthesis, I'm not going anywhere near it. Then when the vice president seems to many people to be doing a good job and have assembled this task force, all of a sudden he shows up and commandeers the press conference. He's a guy who doesn't know what to do in this situation. Remember, he called this a fraud. He said this whole thing was phony. It was a Democratic plot. Now, all of a sudden, he's saying we have to cut people's taxes again, another tax cut. Somebody's going to have to pay for that tax cut. It's going to be a part of the national debt, I assure you, David. So he keeps coming back to these old tricks. But what happened to the idea that he called the whole thing a fraud in the beginning and not that long ago?
Our political observer, Alan Chartok, with us. Thank you, Alan.
Thank you, David.